A public park. Luther Brown interviews Jermaine Swanson, owner and chef of Jermaine's, a restaurant located near Embassy Row in Washington, D.C. In this segment, Jermaine explains how to make chicken soup as clear as rainwater, why it's best to keep a close eye on the kitchen, and tells more stories about life, her restaurant, and the personalities that frequent it.
This is Jermaine Swanson, the owner, proprietor, chief cook, executive chef, and everything for Jermaine's Restaurant in Washington. Most of the critics that I've seen who ever reviewed your restaurant say that it's some of the most heavenly food they've ever had.
Well, my cooking is different than all the restaurant because I do not cook from the cookbook. I do not cook copy from other restaurant. So it's my own cooking and my family's cooking. And when I go out or go back home, go out and I eat for somebody else cooking, and I think about, oh, this is supposed to be this way, is much better. So when I come home, I try to cook my way, and I invented this one way to cook, then become this new dish.
Yeah.
And our famous salad here is been so many years is scallop salad. It's with the dressing that we have that I invented is really fantastic. And now we have our famous papaya, green papaya with dry beef salad. It's also famous here too.
So do you take days off now or?
Well, I am home in town. I never have a day off. I don't want to take a day off because I never feel sitting at home and thinking, my body's at home, but my brain is here. You know, I'd rather to be here greeting customer or my friend and oversee everything, make sure everything all right.
Do you ever think about expanding and having two or three more restaurants?
No,
all
sir.
Over the place?
It's a lot of work. And the restaurant, this is my family. I mean, family run. My two brothers, my son, my daughter-in-law, my husband, you know, and myself in the kitchen. I have a couple cousins working there, and also I'm very happy with this restaurant that I help a lot of refugees, Vietnamese refugees who do not speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And they need job. I give them job, and they raise their children to go to college, and most of their children become doctors, lawyers, and that's, I look back, I'm very, very happy what I have been doing for their family. And if I have another other restaurants, you know, and I will spread myself too thin. And another thing is thing come in the front door, go out the back door, you cannot control it. And it's not a good idea. But there are some other thing I like to do. I like to do like some hotel, somebody who would like to have my concept here, and ask me to help them with my expertise and set up with my menu. Then I like to give them shorter menu than I have here and train the people, and they run the restaurant, but I will be there once a while and things like that. But when you have a restaurant, one is your own, you know, like you have a baby. You tie up your feet here, you cannot do anything, go anywhere. But you have two or three, it's a little too much. So I'd rather to have somebody run like a hotel, run their place, than, you know, have Jermaine's restaurant there, Jermaine's name, you know. And might be work out that way for me.
Thank you. Tell me, what is your favorite dish? What is the favorite dish that you like to eat?
Well, my favorite dishes here is chaka Hanoi, pycon fish, chicken, glazed chicken jamin sauce, and chicken with lemongrass, and also stir-fried noodle with shrimps and black bean sauce and ginger. And we also have a couple of favorite dishes like flat rice noodle, fresh noodle with stir-fried with chicken or beef, depending how how you're in mood for that day.
Do you do a lot of the cooking still yourself here?
I still do a lot of cooking, and I also do all the sauces my own for all the chefs to, when they cook, they put the sauce on.
Are you going to tell us how your grandmother taught you to make chicken soup, chicken broth that was clear as rainwater?
Well, the chicken broth is this way. When you get chicken bones or backbones or wings or whatever, you take the meat out and you wash the chicken bones with hot water first. Then you boil the water and bring the water to boil, whatever the amount of water you need for. Then you drop the bones in there, and you give a piece of ginger, fresh ginger, and an onion, drop in the soup, and keep boiling to high until everything boil high. Then you start skimming all the foam on the top of the soup. Then you turn the heat down and boil it slow or medium high. And the key is don't ever take the spoon or anything, stir up the bones. When you stir that and the meat from the bones break out and become cloudy. So leave that alone and let sim that for at least 3 to 4 hours. Then you turn it off, and then that time you take the bones out, then you skim the chicken broth through the to the skewer, strainer.
Yeah, okay.
Then you leave the cool a little bit, and you keep it in the refrigerator, and all the fat will be raising on the top. And next day, you take all the fat on the top away, and you put it back on the top of the heat and boil it again and until clear. The key about the chicken broth is you don't seasoning until you need it. So that's why you can keep it for a long time. And I always tell my my students that she can take the containers and portionize the chicken broth and can freeze them in packaging or in packages or in a container in a freezer. So every time you need to take one at a time out, and you can reboil that and seasoning and put in your soup. So in only that way, very simple, but a little technique like don't stir it up. See, then the chicken won't raise it with, don't mix it with the broth. Then the broth become clear like rainwater. And you seasoning, when you bring it to boil again, when you use it, then you seasoning with a little salt, but I don't use salt here. I use a little fish sauce. And then you pour on your soup, and then you put cilantro, onion, And it's the best soup we have ever. Our chicken broth here is the best soup that we have for pho gia. That's a Vietnamese chicken noodle soup. And I use same broth for yellow noodle soup, and all kind of soup. I use that broth for the base. And also I use that soup for the base of the sauce to pour on the stir fry. And after stir fry, we use that soup. So I never use MSG here.
Being one of the top chefs in town, do you have to have a lot to do with the other chefs, like Jean-Louis?
Sure, we chef very much knowing each other and get together sometime. And my place usually every restaurant in town close on Sunday, So every chef in town, from Jean-Louis, Jean-Pierre, from Leon Dor, Jean-Louis, and all the chefs gathering here, from Dominique and Dominique Restaurant, and many chefs in town gathering here on Sunday. But lately now, many restaurants are open again on Sunday, so they don't come here as often as they were, but once a while, once a year, twice a year, we have the chef gathering in a picnic. We see each other, we talk about food and family. And sometimes that we are really keeping in touch with each other by courtoisie, like they come here to eat when they have day off, they bring his wife or his family here, or she bring her family here. Then I go to their place and we offer each other a bottle of wine, or we compliment each other food, and or we order for each other. Say, Jermaine, just feed me, and I come there and I just tell the chef over there, feed me. We don't need to bother to look at a menu.
You know it's going to be good?
We know it's going to be good, because when a chef cook for chef, you know, have to be good.
Douglas Park. Douglas Park. Douglas Park.
We talked to Mark Miller, who runs the Red Sage.
Oh, he's wonderful.
Yes, he is. He talks about how we all have a memory of food. From the time that we're little kids, we all have this memory of food, and that's what you use when you start trying to cook and to really appreciate good food.
He was so right, because I never go to school for cooking. I just cook with, remembering dishes that I eat. Oh, one thing my mother told me, when I was young, we have a male chef at home, and he cooks for us. He cooked a lot of different things and mix between French and Vietnamese. And my mother always said, "Do you know what you're eating today?" And I said, "Well, I heard that, civé lapin, that means rabbit, with red wine." So my mother said, "Do you know how the rabbit look like?" I say, "Yes, I play with the rabbit sometime. I know how it look like. But I really don't like to see the cook kill the rabbit and so I can eat it." And so my mom say, "Yes. Do you know how do you know how the cat look like?" I say, "Yes." And she said, "You rich, you have money, you hire a cook, you hire a chef cook for you, but you have to oversee every time that you have guests come in, you entertain people, you have to know what you're eating, what is on your table. Let me tell you something. When you undress the rabbit and you undress the cat, they look alike." And that day I said, "Mom, you make me feel like I'm throw up." You say, "Well, you will learn. So if you go to the kitchen, then you overseen, then you make sure they cook the rabbit for you. Then if you don't look at through the kitchen and check with the cooks, they might go to the backyard and kill the cat and cook for you, and they say, 'Here's a rabbit, eat it.' Then you don't know any different." So I never forget what my mother said. Tell you something is really memorable. One day I was cooking in the kitchen and was very busy. Then the phone rang. So one of my maitre said, "Jermaine, you have to come out. There's the phone call for you from White House." So sometimes I have friends, they're just teasing me. And you know the journalists, they have sense of humor, they're teasing me all the time. So I say, "Oh, you're not a friend." I say, "Why? I'm busy. Somebody bothered me in a busy time." So he said, "No, this is really White House." So I came out, I answered the phone, and the operator said, "This is White House. Will you please wait for President Bush?" So I thought somebody teasing me again, but I was patient to wait. And there was true. President Bush came to the phone and said, Jermaine, this is George Bush. That's what he said, quote and unquote. And I said, yes, Mr. President. And he said, Mrs. Bush and I would like to dine with you. Can you put two of us in a corner somewhere? And as usual, we have the security come in about 5-10 minutes before us. As you know, I said, yes, Mr. President. And he said, I know you're busy, and I hope that I don't disturb you on the last minute. Do you have a table for us? I said, Mr. President, we always have table for you. So, and I actually half hour later, President and Mrs. Bush came, and the security came, checked that 10 minutes before they come. Then I set them, hiding them behind somewhere so nobody bothered them. Then 10 minutes later, one man walked up with some camera and tried to take the picture, and I kick him out. I say, look, this is privacy. I really don't want you to come here. If you want to take picture of the VIP, I didn't mention president, because everybody come in here, I never let anybody know that the president comes, or that's why this place is very famous by privacy and get personal. Then the guy said, I understand the president here, I like to take picture of the president and Mrs. Bush. I say, if you know the president here, did you get a permission from White House to take their picture or not? And he looked at me funny, and he said that, what do you know? And I said, why don't you ask the security man over there, and they allow you to come close to take picture, then I allow you. And meanwhile, I look at the security man, I shake my head like this, and the security man like this. Then they kick him out. So he was so mad at me. But somehow the president heard about that. After the meal, he thanks me for that. He said that we need some privacy, and I thank you for doing that. So, and meanwhile, when they came and I sat them down, we served them drinks. I say, Mr. President, Mrs. Bush, what you feel like to eat today? Because when they come here, they never look at a menu. I always serve them whatever I think is good and the best of the day. So President Bush said, oh, Jermaine, as usual, you just feed us. And Mrs. Bush said that, don't put too much on the table, Jermaine. Everything you put, every time that everything on the table, Mr. President eat it all. So I want him to stay, healthy and slim. I said, okay. So I went to the kitchen. I cooked a very special dish for him and for, a couple of dishes for her, plus appetizer. And I left on the table, let him eat and make sure everything all right. Then that's it, because when I cook, I just throw thing in. I cook the dish, no name, not on the menu. Then after that, about a few months later, the president come back and say, Jermaine, last time I was here, you cooked a dish, fantastic. I want to eat it again. I say, oh my God. I say, Mr. President, can you remind me what you ate that day? And he said, you don't remember what you cooked for me? I say, well, I just come in there and pick up this, pick up that, and throw it in and cook you a dish that not in the menu. So I have to remember what I cook for you. And he laughed. He said, well, everything you cook is good anyway, Jermaine, so give us something to eat.
You've been listening to the Internet 1996 World Exposition. Building a public park for the global village. This has been a production of the Internet Multicasting Service.
This production was handcrafted by Becknell and Lucas.